This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Hi, and welcome back to Sizzle, the podcast cooking show where you can hear how good it's going to taste. And if you happen to have good headphones, you might also be able to hear that I've got a cold right now. And when I've got a cold, I don't tend to want a whole lot of foods, but what I do crave is something that's very aromatic, something that's very potent, something that can break through these sinuses. And if it happens to be spicy, there's no harm done there either, a little something to clear my head out. And of course, I want some comfort food, that kind of goes without saying. And we all know that chicken soup is actually very good for you when you have a cold. Studies have actually confirmed this. So tonight, I'm going to make up a very nice, aromatic, spicy, comfort food chicken soup. I'm going to make up some Thai chicken coconut milk soup. And this is a great soup to make when you're in a hurry, also when you have a cold. If you're in a hurry, you can make it up in about 40 minutes or thereabouts. And although it does call for some stock, it's not really the primary part of the soup. So you can go ahead and do like I'm going to do and use some prepackaged stock. But as you might guess from the name, it is based on coconut milk. And so to get started here, I'm just going to open up 2 cans of coconut milk. Now, just in case you don't know this, coconut milk is not the liquid that knocks around inside of a coconut when you pick it up and slosh it around. It's actually coconut water. Kind of a thin, watery stuff. If you go to Chinatown in the summer, you can buy young coconuts, and the vendor will take a big knife and lop the end off and stick a straw in, and you just drink the juice. But coconut milk itself is made by grinding up coconuts, just the white, meaty part, the part we think of as coconut, and adding that to boiling water and whisking it around in a blender for a while and then straining it out. And actually, the first time you go through that, what you get is coconut cream, which is the much thicker and richer version of coconut milk. And then you do it again, and what's left is coconut milk. Of course, most of us aren't going to do that. I have actually done it once, and it was awesome, but it's quite painstaking. So most of us are going to buy canned coconut milk. If I can get my hands on it, my very favorite brand of coconut milk is Mr. Gudis brand. And I tend to like a lot of Mr. Gudis products. They're always very good and very inexpensive. Mr. Gudis coconut milk comes in at about 89 cents a can. You can get more expensive coconut milks that are up to, you know, $2.49 a can, but this stuff's good. It's actually very authentic. It tastes like the food I get from a lot of Thai restaurants, and more importantly, it tends to let all the flavors of everything else that you put in kind of come through. Coconut milk has a bit of an ability to deaden some things. We're going to put a lot of aromatics in this soup, for example, but it's not going to be quite as crazy as you might think. So I've just dumped the first can of coconut milk into a pot here. Nice big saucepan, and I'm going to dump the second one in. I'm just going to bring that up to the boil. And if you've never worked with coconut milk before, it is very much like milk. It's a little bit thicker. But unlike milk, you can really heat coconut milk. It doesn't scald in the same way that dairy milk does. So we're going to get this up to speed here, and then we're going to start adding the aromatics and let them sort of percolate into the soup. The big aromatics that we're going to be using today are the sort of holy trinity of Thai aromatics. Number one is lemongrass. Number two is a root called galangal. And number three is lime leaf. And this is the leaf of kaffir limes, or these sort of wrinkly, nubbly-looking little limes. Nobody eats the limes for anything, but the leaves are used in cooking all over Asia. Now, I have taken the liberty of taking some dried lime leaf here, and I've already soaked it in a bit of water to bring these back around. If you're really lucky, you might get your hands on some fresh ones. Now and again, you'll find them in the market, or if you have access to an Asian grocery store, you can look for them there. You may be able to find the dried ones. If I can find the fresh ones, I buy them. They want to sell you about 100, and you only need 5 or so. So I just put the rest of them in a wire colander and sit it on the radiator for a day or two, and then I've got, you know, 95 more dried ones that I can use later on. Just reconstitute them in a little bit of water. If you can't find lime leaf, there is one substitute, and that is a little bit of lime rind. It's not exactly the same as most substitutes aren't, but it'll get you there. It'll get you started anyway. The second mentioned aromatic is something called galangal, and this may be a little trickier for you to find. If you happen to have an Asian grocery store in your town, and you very well might. You might be surprised what's hidden off in the corner somewhere. If you can find an Asian grocery store, you can probably get this fresh. It's a root a lot like ginger, but it's got a very definite citrus or lemony note to it, and it's sort of a little bit smoky almost. If you've ever had this soup in a Thai restaurant, then this is a lot of what you're tasting. Again, there's a substitute for this. If you can't find galangal, then you can always substitute a little bit of ginger, which is a first cousin. And I would substitute as well, or add in as well, a little bit of garlic, just to kind of boost up the ginger and add in a bit of that smoky or that sort of deep flavor that galangal has. And then lemongrass, well, it's aptly named. It looks like a great big giant piece of grass. It's about 3 feet long if you get it with the leaves on, but usually it's been trimmed down to about 16 inches. And it's about as thick at the bottom end as your pinky, varying all the way up to the size of your thumb. It's just a long, tapered, grass-looking thing, and of course it smells like lemon. It doesn't really smell like it so much when you first pick it up, but if you whack it around a little bit, if you bruise it, it gives off all kinds of very, very zingy lemon flavor. And again, if you can't find this, there is a substitute, and it's fairly obvious, a little bit of lemon rind and a tiny bit of lemon juice. So in theory, you could make this soup. It wouldn't be exactly authentic, but you could make it using lime rind, lemon rind, a little bit of lemon juice, a bit of ginger, and some garlic. It would certainly be good for your cold, at any rate, even if it's not exactly the Thai experience. So my coconut milk here is starting to warm up some. It starts to thin out a little bit when it warms up, so I'm just going to grab a ladle and sloosh it around a little bit. And it's starting to smell like coconut. I like that. I'm glad I can smell that. So I'm going to take my lime leaves here out of the water. These lime leaves, when you get them fresh, are glossy, deep green, beautiful, beautiful leaves, very, very tough and leathery. When you dry them out and then reconstitute them, they come back. They're not quite as glossy, and they're not quite as green, but they're just as leathery. This is not like the dry leaves of autumn. Okay, we can cut these a little bit. What I'm doing is I'm just folding them down their center line a little, and then I'm just cutting just a row of cuts around the edge, and this is just going to help them release a lot of their flavor. I'm going to put in, well, I have a cold. I can't taste things all that well. So I'm going to put in all the ones that I've soaked here. That's 7 of them in total. Ordinarily, I'd probably use 4 or 5. And I'm going to wait until that coconut milk comes up to a boil, gets hot before I start throwing this in. And next to my lemongrass, I have 2 stalks here. First thing I'm going to do is I'm just going to trim off the ends. 1 and 2. And then I'm going to flip my knife around, hold it sideways by the blade, and I'm just going to whack these stems a little bit here with the handle. Okay, they're a little bit pulpy down at the one end. Start to get a little tougher as you go further up the stalk to the small end. And now I'm just going to cut these into roughly 2-inch lengths. Now we're going to put this in. We're not going to eat this. We don't typically eat lemongrass when it's been cut up and put in big pieces into soup. Sometimes the softer inner core of lemongrass gets put into things, and in that case it'll be chopped up and you do eat it. But for soup, you just put in the big hunks and then take them out as you eat. Lemongrass, by the way, is better known as citronella, and if you happen to have ever sat out in the backyard on a summer's evening and burned a citronella candle to keep the bugs away, same exact thing. And now I'm going to take out my galangal here. It looks an awful lot like ginger. It's a big, shiny, much whiter root than ginger, and it's tough. It's like wood. So I'm just going to chop through it here. And again, this is one of those aromatics that's going to go into the soup, and it's going to come out of the soup before the soup actually gets eaten. So I'm just going to take this, and I'm taking a piece about 2 inches long and probably about 1 inch in diameter here, and I'm just going to cut it into rings. And being as tough as it is, there's no danger that this is going to break down and get lost in my soup. Stuff is like Captain Crunch. It's utterly indefeatable in liquid. So I've got about 7 rings of this. And if I had to use ginger, I'd be doing exactly the same thing. No need to peel it since it's just coming out anyway. We need to slice it into rings and toss it in. So now my coconut milk is nice and hot. It's not quite boiled yet. Not quite. So I think I'm going to save a little time here, and I'm going to start cutting up my chicken. Just have that ready to go. When it comes to the chicken, you can use anything for this recipe. You can use breast if you'd like. cut up drumsticks if you liked. Don't know if I'd throw in chicken wings, but I'm using thighs right now. And in the interest of expediency for this show, I'm using boneless thighs. Skin's been removed, so all I have to do is take them out of their little package and cut it up into little pieces. I'll leave it to you how big of a piece you want to bite into when you're eating soup, but I like a piece that would about fill a teaspoon and not much more. So I'm just going to cut this up while my coconut milk heats. I guess I'll stop watching the pot or it'll never boil. Now, if you wanted to make this recipe vegetarian, you certainly could. There's one other thing that you'd leave out at the end. That's Thai fish sauce. We'll get to that in a bit. Certainly you would leave out the chicken, but my recommended substitute for the chicken, to be honest, would be Thai eggplants, or little Thai aubergines if you can get your hands on them. They're an eggplant. They don't look anything like the big purple globe eggplants that you're used to if you do some Italian or Mediterranean cooking. They're little tiny things, about the size of a golf ball, and they're kind of green-colored. They look like they have dinosaur skin on them. You just cut the tops off them, throw them in. You probably want to cook them a little bit longer than we would cook the chicken, but when you cook Thai eggplants down, they get this incredible buttery and very dense, very sweet texture to them. If you can't find Thai eggplants, I've never seen them in Dominion, for example, you could substitute the longer, thin, paler purple Chinese eggplant. These are the ones that are about an inch and a half in diameter, maybe, and about 6 or 8 inches long. You know, just slice it down the middle and cut it into little planks and throw it in. We're also going to be putting in some mushrooms into this soup. That's an optional. Not every time you get this soup will it have mushrooms in it, but I like the mushrooms in there. And certainly if I were making this for a vegetarian, I would put in lots more mushrooms. And I don't know if you can hear that or not, but my coconut milk is finally starting to boil. So I'm just going to pause here in the cutting up of the chicken. I'll return to that in just a moment. I'm just going to rinse my hands off quick. And I'll turn my coconut milk down a little. It's sounding a tiny bit violent in there. But as I say, that's okay. This is not like dairy milk. It's not going to curdle or stick to the bottom or do anything horrible. And now I'm just going to throw in all those lime leaves that I sliced up the edges of. I'm throwing in altogether about 6 little batons of lemongrass and about 8 rings of galangal. And I'm just going to pour a little over top of them to make sure they've sunk. And then I'm just going to let them sit and give off all their wonderful flavors into that coconut milk while I continue cutting up this chicken. And that's me cutting open the package. Now the mushroom that I chose for this, you can use any mushroom you'd like, really. If you happen to have some shiitake mushrooms burning a hole in your pocket or some oyster mushrooms in the fridge, you can go ahead with those. If you can't find anything snazzy like that, you can go ahead with little cremini mushrooms or white button mushrooms, but I've got portobello mushroom caps, and those are actually kind of nice in this. They'll cook down a little bit, as any mushroom will. They always cook down and get a little more dense, and they're almost like a little piece of meat somehow. Now, when I'm done with this chicken, I'm going to add one more zingy thing to this soup, and that is some chilies. Absolutely mandatory in a Thai soup like this. You can choose how many you want to put in, which could as few as none if you really don't like hot food at all, but I will tell you, coconut milk will blunt the edge of hot chilies a little bit. It's kind of a nice little soothing blanket that coats them and keeps them from burning you as much as you think they might. So you can actually get away with trying a little bit of hot even if you're not a big hot fan. If you possibly can, get yourself some little Thai chilies. These are the little chilies about the size of a firecracker, and much like a firecracker, they're very, very potent. They're about the second hottest chili you're likely to find at the supermarket, second only maybe to a habanero or Scotch bonnet pepper. But you could also substitute a jalapeno pepper for this, or a little serrano pepper, anything you'd like. These little tiny ones, we're just going to be soaking them like the other aromatics. We're not chopping them up and consuming them like food, so I'm going to put in probably about 5 or 6. We'll see when we get to it. So I'm just about done cutting up this chicken here. Of course, I always use a separate cutting board when I'm cutting up meat and vegetables. For the meat, I have some crummy little plastic thing that cleans very easily and doesn't look all that nice. And for my vegetables, I have a lovely little round rubber wood cutting board that's actually kind of attractive, and I want to keep it nice. So I don't ever cut up something like chicken or fish on that. So I'm just going to come back and wash my hands for real now. All that chicken's been cut up. Now, as promised, I'm going to put a few of those peppers in. So let me just move this chicken out of the way and get out a few of these chilies. Now, if I were cutting these up, sometimes you do cut them up for a recipe. If I were cutting these up, I would actually be wearing a little plastic glove, the kind you can get in a drugstore for, I think, putting henna and other things into your hair and such. Works great when you're cooking. The reason that I would be wearing this glove, of course, is that the hot oils that give chilies their kick will come off on your fingers. And if you've ever had the misfortune at some point in your life of going ahead and cutting up some chilies and getting them on your fingers and then touching your fingers to your eyes or your nose or perhaps some other much more unfortunate body part, you know that it's an irritant, not just for your mouth. So I want to make sure that I don't end up with chili finger here. As it is, though, I'm just taking these chilies, and it's very simple to do. I'm just going to hold them by their fat end, and about a third of the way down, I'm just going to make a slice right down the middle to the pointy little tip. Just basically opening them up a little bit. I'm just going to drop them right into the soup as well. And I'm just going to perk away in there. As I say, we won't be eating these. Well, I might be eating these, but you don't have to eat these. I'm just taking out like everything else. And then for now, the last thing that I have to add is a little bit of chicken broth to all of this. Now, of course, if you were making this vegetarian, you would be using vegetable broth. And if you really had to, you could even use water for something like this. I'm not so much needing to add more flavor. We've certainly added a fair amount of flavor here. I just want to make sure that the soup is a nice consistency. I don't want it all chowdery. If you want it all chowdery, bust open another can of coconut milk and go to town, or coconut cream. Coconut cream, you'd be cutting yourself a slice. So I'm just squirting my little Tetra Pak here of stock into the soup. Let me just check the heat here. And I'm going to tick it up just a little bit to keep that warm. And at this point, I'm just going to sit and watch this soup for a while. I'm just going to let it simmer just below boiling if I can. You know, a few little bubbles here and there. I'm certainly not going to get it into a violent rolling boil. And that's going to take me about 10 minutes here, so I'm just going to jump into the time machine and come back, and I'll see you then. Hi, and welcome back. I took my time in the time machine, going back in time to see if I could go back to before I got this cold and maybe dress warmer and wash my hands a lot, but it didn't work. So here I am, but that's okay, because I think this soup is going to make things right for me. It's bubbling away nicely, just sort of a gentle bubble, and now I'm going to turn it up. I'm actually going to get it going to a slightly more rolling boil, because in a minute I'm going to be tossing in my mushroom, or mushrooms in your case perhaps, and the chicken. So the mushroom I've got some nice portobello mushroom caps. You know, these things are about 4 inches in diameter. I don't know if you know this or not, but a cremini mushroom, the little brown mushrooms that you can get in the grocery store, those are just a baby portobello mushroom. So if you let them grow, you get these big ones. And if you grab them up early, you get a cremini. So I'm just going to take this cap and slice it into quarter-inch slices all across. This is definitely one thing I have to note, is this is going to color my soup a little bit. I'm going to have a slightly grayer soup thanks to portobellos. They have those really dark brown gills on the bottom, and those tend to give off stuff that colors just about anything a little bit darker. So I've cut it into strips, and now I'm just going to cut those into little hunks, about an inch long. So there we go. And my soup is now bubbling violently, and that's exactly what I want. And I'm just going to throw these pieces of mushroom right in there. I'm going to let those cook for a while. Those will cook down nicely into a much denser little thing than they are now. Right now the mushroom seems very sort of spongy and light, and they all want to float to the top, but once they give off a little bit of water, and this is a peculiarity of mushrooms, actually. Believe it or not, mushrooms have a lot of water in them. You think of them as a very dry vegetable, very light, and you know, like they're made of styrofoam or something, but in fact they have all kinds of water in them, and when you drive that water out, you can get the mushrooms cooking down an awful lot. If you ever fry mushrooms in a pan, you probably notice you can fill the pan at the beginning, and when you're done, you've got this little handful of very dried up little sort of mushrooms that have condensed down a lot. They keep all their taste, they just throw away all the water. So we're going to let that happen with the soup. And as soon as it comes back up to a boil here, which should be any moment now, I'm also going to put my chicken back in for cooking. So at this point, the soup has probably been cooking for about 20, 25 minutes or thereabouts. It's just been sort of bubbling away. You could eat it now. If you cook this really fast and furious like they do in Thai restaurants, you get it from Thai restaurants and have it on the table in 15 minutes. But I like to cook it a little bit longer and let all those aromatics let out their taste into the soup. So I'm just dumping the chicken in now. And I'm going to let that get all cooked. I like my chicken cooked well done. Like all right thinking people do. And there is a couple more things to add to this soup right now. In Thai cooking, there's always an attempt made to balance things. And the balance is always between salty and sour and sweet. So we want to add a little bit of each to this. The salty that I'm going to add, totally authentic, is Thai fish sauce. And this is a very dark brown, very almost coffee-colored watery liquid. It comes in a great big bottle. Very inexpensive. You can get it at any Asian grocery store. You can get it at Dominion, actually. It comes in a much smaller bottle there, and you probably pay a little bit more for it. But it's all the same thing. It's basically what it is if you made tea, except instead of a tea bag, you used anchovies. Well, that's basically what you've got here. It's sort of an infusion of anchovies. And it's very salty, as anchovies are. That's really one of the big reasons that it's used. But Thai fish sauce is actually put on the table just the same way we would have salt on the table here in Thailand, and it's used on just about everything there. The brand that I've got, I love this, it's called Squid Brand, and it's got a great big picture of a squid on the front of it, but then in smaller letters it says, contains no squid. I have no idea why they would call it Squid Brand if there's no squid in there, but if I read the ingredients, it says anchovy extract, water, salt. So I'm just going to put in about, for now, about a tablespoon of this, maybe a little bit, no, you know what, 2 tablespoons, I've got a lot of soup here. I'm going to put it on the table as well, of course, and you can just add a little bit more if you find that your soup isn't salty enough. If you want to make this a vegetarian soup, of course, you would probably want to just substitute plain old salt. If you don't mind your soup being a slightly different color, you could also substitute some Japanese soy sauce. I think that would provide the salt and a little bit of the sort of robust or savory flavor that we're getting from this fish sauce. So I'm just going to stir this around here, make sure all the chicken gets an opportunity to cook. Now, to balance out this salty, we're going to add the juice of a lime here. So I've got a lime, and I've cut it in half, and I've just got a reamer. I'm going to ream it over the bowl here. That sounds kind of dirty. My friend recently gave me a new citrus reamer that's all metal, and it weighs about a pound. Very satisfying to use. Certainly get all the juice out of it. Why am I doing it into a bowl? Of course, it's just in case I get some seeds. It's not the end of the world if you get a seed in your soup, I guess. But if I do it into a bowl, I'll pick out any seeds. Like there weren't any anyway. So I probably got about 2 tablespoons of lime juice for my troubles, and I'm just going to dump that right into the soup. And then finally, to balance all of that, I'm going to go with a big, somewhat rounded teaspoon of brown sugar. If you happen to have some palm sugar, you can use about a tablespoon of palm sugar in total. But this is the very sticky brown sugar, and a very lumped up teaspoonful. And that should balance out those limes nicely. So that's basically our soup in a nutshell. All that's left to do is let it simmer for a little while longer. Just make sure that the mushrooms cook down a little bit. And, of course, most importantly, the chicken itself cooks down. So I'm going to leave it on high. It's not quite come back to the boil yet. But once it has come back to the boil, I'm just going to turn it back down a little bit. Let it simmer bubbling for about 5 or 10 more minutes before we boil this up. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about some of the fun things you can serve with this soup, and I'll see you then. Okay, we're back. I've come out of the time machine. Did you know the time machine gets 500 channels of cable? Anyway, we're back, and we're looking at the soup here, and it's been bubbling away for a while. I had it turned up a little bit just to cook that chicken up. And let's make sure that it's on low right now. There's really not a lot left to do for the soup itself. I'm just going to let it sit there. Leave it sit as long as you'd like at this point. What I'm going to talk about now, though, is just what we can serve around the soup. And that's one fun thing about Asian soups. Here in North America, you get a bowl of chicken soup, and chances are, if you're lucky, you get some dry crackers to crumble into it. That's about it. But Asian soups, one of the great things about Asian soups is all the nifty stuff that gets served around it. So I'm definitely going to start by cutting up a few of these nice Thai chilies that I've got here. I'm just cutting the tops off of them, just the stems here, about a quarter inch down from the top. And I'm just going to turn them upside down and making sure not to touch the cut end, which would have all kinds of hot stuff on it. I'm just going to roll it back and forth between my fingers here, and that just kind of gets the seeds out. Now, if you're not that familiar with chilies, the seeds, some people think the seeds are where the heat is. It's actually, there's a little membrane on the seeds. That's where the heat is. It's a chemical called capsaicin, and it's a nice irritant. It makes your mouth feel alive. But a little too much of it, and your mouth feels like it's alive, but not for long. So I'm just going to take the seeds out and the membrane with them. So now I've got little tiny hollow peppers of a sort, and I'm just going to slice those up really thin. And I'm probably going to get some kind of hot pepperell on my one hand here now that I am slicing them up. But I guess I'll just have to try and remember. Don't rub my eyes or anything else. And let's put these into a tiny little bowl when I'm done. I've got one green one and two red ones here. That works nice for me. Nice and decorative. And, of course, these are optional, but for me, I may want my sinuses extra clear, so I'm going to make sure to bring the heat. And I will just wash my hands off here. Anything I can do to keep this oil from spreading around. I'm also going to put some fish sauce out on the table, of course, just like if we were in Thailand. And if anyone wants their soup a little saltier, or a little more savory, they can just toss a splash or two of that in there. And I'm going to take another lime here, and I'm just going to cut it up into quarters. And when I'm done, I like to slice across the lime a little so it squeezes easier, just across the face of it, make some indentations or some little slices in there. And then you can squeeze it into your soup if you would like to. Now, being sickly as I am, I didn't make it to the market today, but in a perfect world, I would also love to serve on the side of this soup some spring onions or scallions, thinly sliced, perhaps a little bit of coriander or cilantro leaf, also roughly sliced, and if possible, a little bit of Thai basil as well. And if you've never had Thai basil, it's an awful lot like Mediterranean basil, except it's got a very distinctive licorice or anise note to it, and it's a little bit pepperier. Excellent on something like this. Rip those into little pieces and toss them into the soup as well. And the final thing that I like to add, I don't like any soup that doesn't have a little bit of oil on the top. So if you have a little bit of peanut oil, you can drizzle some of that on or some kind of vegetable oil that you like. Ideally, though, and I do have this, I have some palm oil, and I'm going to put a little bit of drizzle of palm oil on the top of this soup. Palm oil is kind of a deep orange, almost pumpkin-colored oil, and it's solid at room temperature, actually. I have to run a bit of hot water over the bottle to get some liquid. But it's very sweet and fruity, a very unique oil made from some other part of the palm tree. And if you have that, if you can find some of that, buy yourself a bottle. It's a lifetime supply. And you can just drizzle it onto any soup like this when you want just a little slick of orange oil on the top and a little bit of extra taste. So I'm just going to go ahead now and pour this up into a bowl with my ladle and drizzle a little palm oil on the top of it. Grab a couple spoons, and I'm going to sit down and eat and see if I can get rid of this cold. So do tune in next time here on Sizzle when we're going to take some Kraft dinner and sass it up a little with a tomato sauce that I found called ketchup. See you then.